Talk. I'm Dick Griffith. We're working through 1 John, the epistle, that letter in the back of the Bible, almost to Revelation, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Don't get it confused with the Gospel of John, although we'll touch on that one a little bit as well. But we're looking at a question that often comes up when you talk to folks and you say, do you know where you'll be in the next life? Do you know where you'll be if something were to happen to you and you were killed and you woke up on the other side of the grave? Do you know about your future? And many, many people will say, I don't believe you can know that for sure. There are some doctrinal positions in some churches that teach that. You can't know it for sure. And the Scripture doesn't teach that. The Scripture teaches that you can know it for sure. That's in 1 John 5. These things are written that you might know. And buried in each of the chapters of 1 John 1 through 5, and we're going to address chapter 2 at this session, are things that you can ask yourself, tests that will help you know for sure that you are one of his children. So John is known as the beloved disciple. He's the one who laid his head on the chest of Christ at the Last Supper. He walked with him, ate with him, touched him. And then wrote a gospel about him that expresses his love. And before we get into 1 John 2, I'd like to look real briefly at the Gospel of John. So verse 21, this is the Gospel of John 21, chapter 21, verse 24, where John is telling you he's a witness. He has seen these things. And here he says it again. This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know with confidence, and we know that his testimony is true. He's talking about himself. What he's saying to you basically in John chapter 21 is he's telling you the truth because he's experienced it. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain all the books that would be written. The Scripture is full of information about God, about how he works in the universe, how he works in lives of peoples and of individuals. But there are many more things that he did and could have done, same with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's included in this Bible and in 1 John are just the things you need to know for sure about your future. So look a couple of pages back in the Gospel of John to chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. There's the test that we're going to touch on again in 1 John 2. It's the issue of believing, knowing it for sure. These things are written for you that you might know about your future and about the future that God has for you. So if we look at chapter 2 in 1 John, we're back in the epistle now, look at verse 3 through 6. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. So if you've come to know him, you're going to want to do what he wants you to do. That'll be a desire of your heart. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. You don't know him if you're not motivated to do what he's asking of you. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected or made complete. Whoever keeps his word in him truly, the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. How did Jesus walk? Can we walk in the same way in which he walked? Well, not perfectly, although being perfect and complete is his ultimate goal for us. But he walked in humility in that dusty old world where he came as a babe. He walked with people. He was interested in people as individuals. He didn't set himself up above anybody else. He walked with them at their level, sat there with them, held children in his lap, dealt with people's pain and suffering. He sincerely cared for individuals. That's the way that Christians should walk. But that obedience is not a way to earn your salvation. That obedience is a sign of it. It's an outcome of being obedient. And you say, well, what shall I obey? So it says in Matthew 22, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know what's going on in your heart and soul. Others may not see it, but in your mind, you know what you trust in and what you believe. Love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So let's look at verse 9. So 9 through 11 goes like this. Whoever says he is in the light, or knows the truth, and hates his brother is still in darkness. Ooh, you think you know the truth, but you have hatred in your heart, and you aren't in the light. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness. And in the darkness you will stumble, you will trip, and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So ask yourself, do you love or hate your brother, or your sister for that matter? Do you honor him? Do you put his needs above yourself? Do you give to him? Do you serve him? This is walking the way Jesus walked. It's the kind of love that Jesus shared with everyone around him. And that kind of love is called agape love, self-sacrificing love that gives to others as a primary motive to get nothing back. So last week, we did a doctrinal test. Who is Jesus? And this time, we're doing a moral test. Do you have love? Do you value your neighbor? Do you work to restore relationships that are broken? So let's look at verse 15. We're in 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Oh boy, that's a hard one. Do you love your stuff? Do I love my stuff? That's a hard one. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Uh-oh. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides or survives forever. So ask yourself in your heart of hearts, in that inner spirit, what do you love more than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? Those are the things that are getting in your way. So the test here is, do you love him above all else? And only you can answer that. Are you tempted to deny him? Think about this in verse 23 real quickly. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Do you ever deny him? Are you ever embarrassed to be called a Christian? Be careful. If you go to work, to school, to a party, are you embarrassed that people might know you're a Christian? The question here, the test is, do you love him above everything? So, Father, we pray that each one listening, and that myself included, would learn to love you and trust in you primarily, and not on those things that are around us, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all those things that are around us. We love you, Father, and you primarily, and in so doing, we're assured of our relationship to you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.